Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
Hopes for the ASEAN region seem to be picking up slowly but surely, at least when we look at the year ahead. And one economy that people have high hopes can rebound is Indonesia. Economists are expecting a decent rebound, but with continued uncertainty about the COVID-19 pandemic still weighing on Southeast Asia's largest economy, can these outlooks actually be scuppered by any surprises from the very unpredictable coronavirus? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined once again by Mr. John Rachmat, who's a strategist at Pinnacle Investments in Indonesia. He joins us today to share with us his outlook for the year ahead. Mr. Rachmat, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad you and your loved ones are still in good health and in good spirits in these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It has been
thank
a while.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Ong.
Let's start off with looking at the JCI or the Jakarta Composite. We've seen it just start to even out in the last couple of sessions, but it's still about 4 to 5% away from wiping out year-to-date losses. Momentum also seems to be in favor of the more bullish people in the market, especially with that rosy outlook for Indonesia next year. So the question is, can the JCI wipe out losses, or do you think that maybe we might be discounting certain headwinds at our own peril?
Okay, so almost throughout 2020, we in Pinnacle have been bullish on bonds but bearish on Indonesian equities. We changed our view sometime in late October, early November, around the time when the vaccine by Pfizer was announced. So there are two main reasons for changing our view. One is the discovery of that vaccine, and then, of course, we have an embarrassment of riches because not just one vaccine, but three vaccines are getting very close to, now Pfizer has been approved, but there is also Moderna vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccines, which seem to have very high degree of efficacy. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is Joe Biden winning a clear victory in the American presidential election. Actually, whether Donald Trump or Joe Biden win did not really matter that much to the stock market. What is important is to avoid a very ambiguous results like what we had back in 2000, between George W. Bush and Al Gore at the time. This time, even though Donald Trump was protesting vigorously, but everybody can see that the results are very clear. And I think yesterday, the electors in the US finally declared Joe Biden as the winner. So that also gives a lot of certainty in the markets. As to whether this is premature, the issue is, market assume that the discovery of the vaccine would mean that we can close the books on the COVID-19 very sad story this year. There are a few problems with that. Number one, a survey in Indonesia has shown about 7% of Indonesians actually distrust the vaccine by Sinovac.
Did you say 7%, sir?
7%, yes, okay. On religious grounds.
Okay.
Because Sinovac is a Chinese company, so they actually suspect that there is some kind of pork element in that vaccine. So that 7% is on religious ground. But more importantly, even the Indonesian Association of Medical Doctors, ED, is not quite confident about the vaccine either. Not on religious grounds, but because it has not been approved by FDA and we have not seen the details of the third phase trial and so on. And so the original list of priorities by the government would say that the health workers and the frontline workers should get it first and then the adult population. But the ED Association actually say, oh, we are happy to get vaccinated if the president himself would get vaccinated first. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jokowi then say, oh, no, I'll just get vaccinated together with the people, meaning, the second after the frontliner, then it would be his turn. I hope he realizes that this is a really significant issue. If the president himself does not want to give an example of getting vaccinated early, then it might be an issue. Now, I'm hoping the stock market is correct in assuming that this is just a very short-term issue and the government would actually get over this. Now, the assumption is that once we basically manage to lick the problem of COVID-19, then the index can go back to the pre-COVID-19 level, which is around 6,300 or 6,400, Currently, it's at about 6,000. And I can easily see that's happening, you know, within a month or two at most, because the market is so happy that a solution is finally discovered. Beyond that, if you want to go even above that level a few months down the line, then that would be an issue because people would ask, but is there any economic justification, you know, for giving a higher valuation compared to the pre-COVID-19 level? But at this time, if you're talking about today, the market is very optimistic that this vaccine would provide a total solution.
You did mention a while ago Indonesian bonds, something that you were favoring recently over at Pinnacle.
Yes.
And they've been performing quite admirably in the emerging market space. Do you think this will continue into next year? And are there legitimate questions about how Indonesia can finance the burgeoning debt issuance, especially on the sovereign side?
Okay, there are two factors which global bond investors would look at any country's sovereign bonds. The first one is the spread against the U.S. Treasury. The 10-year U.S. Treasury is yielding less than 2% at the moment. The Indonesian 10-year government bond is yielding about 6%. So obviously, there is a positive spread, and that makes the Indonesian sovereign bonds attractive. But the second issue is the currency. Obviously, there is no point in gaining the extra yield if you then lose everything through a collapsing currency. Now, the Indonesian rupiah is very sensitive to the current account deficit. If you remember back in 2018, when there was a big drop in both the rupiah and the bond market, the Indonesian sovereign bond market, the main reason was that the oil price was $80 per barrel at the time, and a lot of people were afraid that it would go all the way to $100 or higher. Now, this is the main reason why Indonesian rupiah is very strong at the moment, and therefore why we have been very bullish on Indonesian bonds almost throughout 2020. And that reason is that the global economy is suffering from a severe recession. You know, in a recession time, there is not much demand for transportation and hence not much demand for crude oil. And so like WTI, which is currently trading somewhere between $40 to $50 per barrel, you know, as long as it remains there, or even below $60 per barrel, then I would think that the rupiah would be relatively safe. And that would also mean that the Indonesian sovereign bonds would continue to do well. The problem, ironically, would arise maybe in third quarter of next year. Let's say that the vaccines rollout were successful and the global economy start to recover. If that happens, then obviously economic activities will pick up and the demand for crude oil would also pick up. And hence the fact that Indonesia is net importer of oil would start to really suffer from a rising oil price. But that's third quarter next year story, John. So at the moment, I'll just focus on the fact that we are going through a happy time.
Let's quickly touch on the Indonesian rupiah. As we mentioned, some of the strongest levels in recent memory. Now, we do have the weakening dollar also to deal with. The Bank of Indonesia,
yes,
which is set to make a decision soon, halting their rate cuts. Is the rupiah, do you think, going to stay this strong and continue to flex in 2021? And how strong can it get?
Yeah, rupiah is held by two factors. One is the fact that the Fed is busy doing unlimited quantitative easing, of course. The governor of the Fed has made it very clear that they'll do everything, you know, to help float the U.S. economy. And that results in the weakening of the U.S. dollar. That's across the board, not just against rupiah, but also against, you know, any other currencies, the euros, the yen, pound sterling, Aussie dollars, Singapore dollars, and so on. That is going to be there for a long time. We do not expect that particular weakening of the U.S. dollar to go away anytime soon. The second point, of course, is that the crude oil price, which I mentioned earlier, and this might be an issue if we look at maybe third quarter next year, when I expect the global economy to start the recovery process. Until then, from now to then, I would expect, yes, rupiah would continue to be stable, at least, if not strengthening. The fact that Bank Indonesia may actually cut the benchmark interest rate a bit further, I think they have room for another 25 basis point cuts sometime early next year, I would expect. That to us is really a signaling issue, not really useful for jumping start the economy, because this year, 2020, banking credit growth has been really low. It's like 0.5% year-on-year growth only. For a very logical reason, you know, bankers during difficult economic times are very unwilling to lend. And even if the interest rate is cut, you know, even the borrowers would think twice, you know, because if you have very little revenue, what's the point of borrowing more money from the banks? Mm-hmm. So that is more like a signaling exercise for us. The Bank Indonesia is showing the world that they are very confident about the strength of the currency, and hence they do not mind cutting the interest rate further, trying to help the economy. But as long as those two factors, meaning the weakening of the US dollar globally and the weakening of the crude oil price continue, then we feel pretty safe about the Indonesian rupiah.
All right. And just very quickly, Mr. Rahmat, before we let you go, you know, the Indonesian government is also trying, and rightfully so, trying to find ways to shore up and make sure that they can pay for all this debt that's been issued. And one of the ways they've done that is to raise taxes on the tobacco sector. I'm surprised that actually behind China, Indonesia is the second largest tobacco market in the world. Can you talk to us about what impact this might have for companies in that sector, like PT Gurang Garam, for instance? You know, surely this can't be something that they that is music to their ears. But can you talk to us about whether the impact on the sector will be great, or if the if demand for tobacco in Indonesia is inelastic enough that these companies can at least withstand the tax hike?
You know, the cigarette industry in Indonesia has been well inured with all these excise duty increases every year. The fact of life is that excise duties on cigarettes is one of the easiest way for the government to raise money. And hence, you know, in this kind of times when the government is seriously short of money, you know, not only because of the pandemics, which really do immense damage to the economy and hence to tax revenues to the government, but also to the fact that the government needs to spend, you know, a lot of additional spending on health matters, as well as the traditional infrastructure spending and so on. So a few weeks back, before the actual announcement by the Ministry of Finance about what the excise duty would be next year, there were some rumors that, oh, the increases would be very modest and so on. And hence, during those few weeks, you saw the stock prices of Gudang Garam and Sampoerna, for example, checking up very quickly, which to me is really silly. I mean, whoever made that kind of rumors is completely silly, because when the government needs money, then one of the easiest way to raise money is to jack up the excise duty, which they duly did. And the industry, well, of course, they don't like it, but they are very well used to this. There was 1 year during Megawati, the government, years ago, when the government made some errors in their calculation. They realized late in the year that, oops, you know, the budget was really short of money, and they raised the excise duty for the second time in that year. And as a result, you know, the cigarette consumption really got a hit. But it took a hit for about 11 months or so, and then afterwards it recovered again. So the smoking habit is very robust and very strong in Indonesia. Like you say, it's a pretty inelastic demand. Sooner or later, then the consumption would return. I'm not particularly worried about that. I think investors should understand already that is the kind of risk profile that you should expect if you invest in the Indonesian cigarette sector.
John Rahmat, strategist at Pinnacle Investments, thank you so much for joining us on Across the ASEAN to talk about the outlook for Indonesia's markets in the year ahead. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times, and a very happy holidays and a successful turn into 2021. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.